Welcome to the Finer Life Show. I'm your host, Greg Hush Williams. Today's panel is going to be talking about the essence of service. That's right, the essence of service. Now, our panelists include Jonna Williams, a veteran service officer and U.S. Air Force veteran, Chris Newsom, Senior Vice President of DoD Programs with Recruit Military and a U.S. Army veteran, and Baby Garcia, Director of Digital Strategy and Content with Military Veterans in Journalism and a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. Check it out.
I think that one of the biggest lessons I've learned was to take care of yourself first, and then you take care of others around you. And that's something that took me years to realize, especially now working in journalism, where it's very fast-paced. News constantly changes. And sometimes we neglect, whenever the chaos starts, we neglect ourselves. And we try to, you know, handle everything that's going on around us, multitasking and whatnot. And I've just really learned that my mental health is priority, so that I can function and take care of my colleagues around me, the other reporters that I work with, and also growing in ranks in the military, you know, like learning how self-care can help, you know, shape who I am so that I can become better, to be the better leader that I can be, and influence and positively impact, you know, the people, you know, under me, under my charge. And so that's like one of the biggest lessons. And also just, you know, perseverance in general, like just to know, like to not give up right away, and just to, you know, keep going and keep fighting for what you believe in. And, you know, just the drive, the, you know, the tenacity to push through tough situations.
Wow. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I run the risk of being corny, you know, if I want to rattle off all of the, you know, the Army virtues and values, but I took them very seriously, you know, when I served, and I take them seriously now, you know, honor, duty, respect, courage, you know, discipline. I think those virtues and values are being ingrained in all of us. It doesn't matter what branch, boot camp, basic training. It makes you a bigger person. It helps you to really, you know, see the landscape differently. It frames your perspective. It gives you that notion of being a part of something bigger than yourself. And I think you can carry those sort of lessons with you into any line of work, into any organization. To be able to go beyond yourself is always going to, is going to bode well for you and your team. You know, whether you're leading that team or you're a part of that team, it's integral. It's incredibly important. You know, two things that really stand out the most to me that are the most important that I extract and that I carry with me every day. And that's, you know, the notion of like servant leadership, you know, leading by example, putting somebody else before your own interests. And everybody has to do that at some point, no matter what. It's unavoidable. It doesn't matter what your rank is. It doesn't matter what your MOS is. You're going to be put in a position where you have to consider or care for somebody else prior to yourself. And again, that's just one of those values that that will take you very far in life in general, being able to care for your community, for your family, for your network, whatever the case might be. But I would say peel back all of those layers. They're inherent. They're important. And it's hard to put value, you know, which is more important. But the biggest one that I would say, if I had to cherry pick, is the ability to adapt and overcome. That's, you know, that's just something that the military throws at you no matter what, because you don't have a choice sometimes with the environment around you. And take, I don't mean the weather, you know, I mean your resources. I mean the mission that's in front of you. We're constantly asked, again, doesn't matter what your MOS was. You're always going to be asked to do something that's borderline unrealistic. You know, in the civilian world, everybody would raise an eyebrow or just say, that's absurd. You know, I don't think so. We're not going to do that. We're going to wait till a better suggestion comes along. Whereas in military culture, you don't have that option. you're operating in a zero fail environment where the decisions that you make could, you know, directly negatively impact an outcome, whether it be safety or just the ability to complete a mission in a timely manner. So being able to look at a situation, have less than desirable resources sometimes, a terrible timeline to work with, and to know that you don't have a choice, just push forward, adapt and overcome. You know, it's like looking at an obstacle course. You don't have to barrel right through it. Go around it, go under it, go over it. There's all kinds of different ways that you can negotiate a problem that's in front of you. So if I had to pick one, I would say that's the most pivotal one that I carry with me every day, because I'm convinced there's literally no situation that can be thrown in front of me. And Jade, I heard you mention proud mom of three. I'm a proud dad of two. And believe me, they throw obstacles at me multiple times a day. And, you know, it's between work and everyday life, I'm very confident that there's nothing I can't handle or gather the resources to solve the problem. So yeah, adapt and overcome is my key one.
Gotta love it. Gotta love the gems. Come on, drop some more Air Force. Do the little sprinkle. And you see sprinkle. All these F fighters just coming down. Go ahead.
Like Chris was in my head. That's like one of my main life lessons that I actually take pride in, because a lot of people are not able to adapt to different environments. They go in different environments. They shut down. But I take pride in being able to juggle being a single mom of three, being an advocate, my outside duties, my community service. I take pride in it. You know, I haven't mastered a baby of putting myself before others, because just last week I was in the woods, not worried about mosquitoes being, you know, hurt. You know, I had a homeless veteran. All I cared about was getting him out of there. But in a way, I guess I am, because it's helping me not think about my disabilities by helping others. You know, I think that's one big life lesson that the military teaches us too. Sometimes we have to put self on the back burner to help those. When we go, when we sign a dotted line, we don't think about self. We may not feel good. We may be scared. Like Chris said, he was afraid of heights, but he signed up for the airborne. So we don't think about our own selves when we are, you know, trying to serve our country or bringing the service to others. The life lesson is just adapting, adjusting to different environments. And I will say this, accepting my calling. I will say that. The military has showed us in different ways. Everybody has callings in different ways, you know, but just accepting the calling that has been bestowed upon us when we sign that dotted line, and just continuing to fulfill it, even though we're not in the service anymore. So, sorry.
You could have kept going. You could have kept going. Well, I was just like, girl, you know, when you're in a sermon and the preacher is like, yes, yeah. And they're like, do I keep going? Yes. You're like, yeah.
No, I just feel like we're different, you know, and I try not to, like, I love the brotherhood. I love when I meet a veteran and I'll give one example. Sometimes we have individuals, I sit on it's called CIT, Crisis Intervention Training Team, where we train law enforcement and those who deal with individuals with mental health. I love to hear that they had a veteran and he didn't want to talk to that law enforcement. He wanted to talk to another law enforcement officer who served. You know, like, I just love the brotherhood that we have, regardless if we serve in the Air Force, Army. We can talk crap to each other, but nobody else can, you know. And sometimes I miss it, because I mean, if you think how we went to our first base, we didn't know anybody, but guess what? We became best friends, you know, with everybody. And it's still to this day, when I go away for training, I can go across to California, don't know anybody, but I leave with a best friend, you know, while I'm there in training. So, you know, there's so many different life lessons that we're taught. I'm an only child. So I was a military brat. So, you know, it's just, I miss that. I just miss the brotherhood, the family that we instilled, the discipline. A lot of people don't have discipline nowadays, you know, and just having it, and everybody don't get us, but I just, you know, miss us and just enjoy the hanging
camaraderie.
Out.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta love it. Yeah. So now I'm gonna open this table. I'm gonna just open it up, boom. With this last one, you know, how can organizations better serve the military and veteran community? And basically, this is your part where you talk about, you know, how your organization serves the military and veteran community. And yeah, I'm just going to open it up. And then, you know, we're just gonna have at it. So who wants to go first?
I do.
Plug time. Boop, boop.
Not so much of the plug, but just from my own experience. When I first became a veteran service officer, I thought that serving my veteran community was putting on events, you know, say, hey, we're having a resource fair here today. We're doing this for military families. But over the years, I feel like serving my veteran communities is filing their claims, getting them service connected, just educating them on the benefits that's there for them. Teaching them how to apply for veterans preference, teaching them how to apply for their property tax deduction, teaching them how to apply for their state tax deduction, you know, just educating them on benefits that basically is owed to them for serving their country. Just being there for a fellow veteran, sometimes just being a sounding board, not giving my opinion, just listening to them, letting them talk about things that they've been through. But the main thing that I actually take pride in is getting them service connected, trying to get them to 100% or close to it as possible, and just keep fighting the VA till we win and get them what's owed to them.
I'll jump in. Jade, I'm kind of in the same boat as you as far as, leveraging the community that we have and the resources that we have in front of us. You know, I'm niche within a niche. I focus exclusively on employment. You know, my organization is a conduit between the military community and the companies that want to hire and retain them. Now, we fully appreciate the ancillary or the wraparound or the holistic services that are needed. And in some case, unfortunately, the triage that's needed. We pride ourselves in being able to not just connect these men and women to those employment opportunities, but also those other third parties that can fill in the gaps where it's not our forte. We don't know how to do benefits. You know, we don't know how to do a lot of the things that you do. And we intentionally don't try to, because we know that if we deviate from our forte, we'll water down our effectiveness, you know, with that primary mission that we have, which is the employment connectivity. So, you know, I think for everybody that operates in this space, you know, it's important to always try to collaborate. It's important to try to work together to make sure that, you know, we've got that holistic service provision when and where it's needed. Not everybody needs it. Not everybody is a triage case. Not everybody's down and out. But, you know, I think every single one of us at some point could have, you know, benefited from a nudge in a direction. You know, I know when I first transitioned out, you know, it was a culture shock. I basically tried to pick up where I left off, you know, before I left the service. And it can be pretty deflating, you know, going from serving with extreme purpose to all of a sudden trying to be the guy on the block again. You know, it doesn't really work. It's like taking the venom out of the snake. You know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't, you know, it wasn't conducive to happiness for me. So, you know, I was fortunate enough to find Recruit Military and do what we do. And this is, you know, I feel like I could, I'd like to go back, if I could even remember who my high school guidance counselor was, to go back and say, like, I did it. I found, you know, that job that you told me if I could find what made me happy and find a way to turn it into work. You never work a day in your life. You know, that's what I get to do. And I get the feeling from everybody on this panel right now, we get that sense of purpose. We're very passionate about what we do. So to really get to the meat and potatoes of your question, for organizations, when I think organizations, I think of employers. I think of the organizations that we work with and the capacity in which we work with them. And what I would say to them, my challenge, and it's really been answered pretty well by corporate America, generally speaking, is to be open-minded and to not always approach our demographic like we need to be. Coddled may not be the right word, but, you know, everything when it comes to military personnel, it tends to be categorized in a philanthropic box sometimes. And again, there is an absolute time and place for that. But, you know, what we like to stress is that the men and women that we're bringing into the forefront here to connect with these employers are top tier. They're the top tier of the country, because what most people don't understand is that the military intentionally discriminates. If you're flat-footed, if you got scoliosis, if you snore, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. If you have an education deficit, you can't get in. You know, 70, I want to say it's 72% of the entire American population aged like 17 to to 28 or something like that does not qualify for military service because of physical, educational, or other mental health oriented deficits. So right out the gate, by virtue of getting somebody that served anywhere from 4 years or more, whatever their term in service was, or even if they're Guard or Reserve, they're automatically a top tier. So I challenge any member of corporate America who's not already gelling, that doesn't have a robust military hiring initiative, to wrap their heads around that from a, you know, a cost per hire perspective or a return on investment, you know, because you're talking about talent wars that we've got right now. You can't drive down the street without finding dozens of help wanted signs. You know, get somebody that's going to stick with it and that's going to get the job done. And military personnel are the answer, you know, to that need in so many cases. What they need, what the service members need, is a good culture that understands them. You know, you don't have to bend over backwards to accommodate them. They're not unicorns. We want the same things that anybody else wants: decent wage, you know, merit-based, you know, upward mobility. You know, we want to provide for our families and we want a career. We don't want a dead-end job. But other than that, we're normal candidates. So my challenge to corporate America would be, if you don't understand the data yet, look into the data associated with hiring military personnel, because it bodes very well for your hiring and your retention. So that's what I would tell the general public when it comes to, you know, when they look at the military community, look at them as top tier talent.
I was waiting for the plug, Chris. I was ever a recruit.
Recruit military. Hey, yeah. Listen. All right. I'll be shameless really quick. I didn't want to eat up any time. I know it's baby's turn, so I don't want to, I'm not trying to eat up the time.
Okay.
We run over 100 physical and virtual career fairs every year. All of these companies, and we work with thousands and thousands of companies, over 16,000, majority of the Fortune 500, Fortune 200, everybody in between, government contractors, financial giants, whatever you might be interested in, we've got some level of representation. So we're the conduit. We're trying to make you meet in the middle. Right now, we've got a plethora of companies that are foaming at the mouth, starving for good talent. If you're a member of the military community, Guard, Reserve, veteran, active duty, going through a transition now, or military family, if you're a spouse, we have dedicated employers that specifically want to hire you. So that would be my challenge to the other side of that coin. If you're a military member and you're not familiar with Recruit Military, recruitmilitary.com, and we'll take it from there.
See, I did everything purposeful, because I was like, Jana can talk about benefits. Chris can definitely. We're going to get him.
You teed us up, Greg. But I missed the opportunity. You teed it up.
But baby is close to my heart. A little bit about me. I used to be a public affairs soldier, and I used to work at a top tier newsroom. I'm not going to give them a plug. No, you got to get on the show to get the plug. But journalism, I feel it makes the world go round. I feel that whenever you're talking about benefits or employment, all of this is only circulated through messaging. And I feel like baby is the master messenger. So baby, take it away, MVJ. And yes, you know, my original question was, you know, how can companies become more military friendly, more veteran friendly? How can they better serve the veteran family? You know, so talk about that, but then also talk about MVJ, because journalism, you can't make nothing go unless you have the truth.
Right. So I just want to start off with like a little personal story. So in the Marine Corps, that last week before you transition out, it's TRS. It's the Transition Readiness Seminar. That's like a week long, and basically people tell you how to construct your resume, how to prepare for job interviews when you get out, right? And I was the only Marine who wanted to be a journalist. And to convert what I did in inspecting and maintaining aircraft parts, the people that were trying to assist me didn't really help me at all. And everybody was focused on helping most of the Marines during that week were, you know, they wanted to be like lawyers or police officers or other professions that was not at all related to mine. And I think that from the get-go, I think that more branches that have journalism-related MOSs, such as public affairs, combat camera. I think that they need some assistance before they fully transition out so that they can build connections once they get out. And it's easier for them to network, to connect, and to get hired, because that was also a challenge for me too. I did not get hired into journalism right out the bat like Jana was. And even with my military service, some of us just don't have it that easy. And in journalism, sometimes it's who you know. Like if you know someone who's president of a major media corporation or network, that's gonna help you get in the door easier. And you know, sometimes employers, they, piggybacking off what Chris said, they overlook military experience. Like they see all of this military jargon in a resume and deployments, and they may not necessarily see education on there. And, you know, and the time in service and the lack of education, it just might, you know, make employers like throw away the resume and not and completely disregard them. So I just think that having each military branch have representatives that are knowledgeable in different areas, including journalism, to be present, and also every educational institution should have a veterans office, a veterans director, resources so that veterans can, you know, smoothly transition into the classroom if they decide to get an education. Because I remember when I went to college, like, you know, most of the students were complaining about waking up at 0700, like to go to class. And like, I was frustrated at that because that's nothing. So like, making sure that organizations and people recognize the value, the life experiences, the training, the just the seriousness that veterans have in committing to their goals, I think is really critical.
Thank you for tuning into the Finer Life Show. Listen, if you want to find us on the web, please check us out at www.mbfikings2017.org. That is www.mbfikings2017.org.